Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the fan. A lot to get to today, just coming back from vacation. Happy New Year to everybody. 888-808-1019. So from the Giants' perspective, I know you and I fundamentally disagree with this, where you would, I don't know, is it fair to say root against your own team for the betterment
of the draft? Certain situations, yes.
Now, where I don't believe in that, and by the way, there's a second layer to this conversation that I definitely want to get into right now. But before we do that, what were your thoughts on the Giants? Like, even I must admit, I've come around to not just your thinking, but this year is a lost year for the Giants. Mm-hmm. They desperately need a quarterback. Like, no good at this particular point can come from winning, and yet they go out there and beat the Colts kind of handedly as well, which hurts them with the draft pick. What was your thoughts on that game?
It's the worst win in franchise history. That's what it is. Now, listen, I obviously always get separation between what I want when this pertains to the Jets or what I think Giant fans should have wanted going into that game, and most of you did. You wanted a loss, but that's obviously different than saying the players should tank, which is idiotic,
or the coaches. People were saying that before.
Yep.
That they were tanking. And the New Orleans game was the first time I thought, I think we talked about it, when they missed that field goal at the end. I'm like, hey, either you suck so bad or you missed it on purpose, which brings it to a whole other element, but apparently they're not tanking.
I know. I do think there's certain situations, you've seen this in the NBA, where, you know, teams strip down just so thoroughly and so unapologetically that it's like, all right, you got 3-4 G-leaguers out here playing 25, 30 minutes a night. We know what you're doing. And obviously, when that's the case, the ownership and the you know, people in charge, head coach, GM, they've got to work in unison. They've got to understand that this is the plan, and I'm not going to get fired by executing the plan to try to get so-and-so right coming out of Duke, or if it's Cooper Flagg, whatever it might be. This Giants one is a little tougher to read. Because, you know, the embarrassment for Mara with the Saquon stuff, the desperation for both Dable and Shane to start winning some games, and the hard knocks, the way it was presented there, and the planes flying overhead. Like, there's been a lot of things that I think that have complicated the just how they've, I don't say how they attack the season, but maybe the ultimate agenda for the season. But no, I think it sucks that they won.
Yeah,
but I'm not gonna rant and rave about it, because, well, I know that the players wanted to win.
Well, and typical, like, I'm sure owners and coaches, they feel good about the win, and players were excited about the win, which is fine. But it's also tone deaf to where the majority of the fan base wanted them. Like, you finally got to a point where you wanted them to lose these mm-hmm. games. And then they win, and everybody's like, oh, some fans want to be happy about it. And that's my bigger issue, is that we as sports fans have now created such a major, and it's not just the sports fans, but the way the sport lends itself has created a divide between even a singular fan base, whereas mm-hmm. Giant fans on Sunday were ripping each other. The fans who were trying to enjoy a rare win
were
getting mocked and ripped by the fans who wanted to tank for the top pick. And to me, BT, it's become so prominent, the tanking idea in sports, not just the NFL, it's in sports,
mm-hmm.
that I think something needs to be done about it. I think there's got to be a lottery, because you cannot, like, to me, the worst thing is to have fans rooting for your team to lose. Like, it's just not good. I know why you do it in theory.
Yeah.
It's just not what we're meant to be doing as sports fans. And the only way to eliminate that is to have a legitimate lottery, And then this way fans can root for their team to win and see where it is with the pick at the end.
I'd be okay with that. And man, there's bad teams. The Patriots are bad. The Titans are bad. The Browns are bad. Jags are bad. Carolina's bad. Vegas is bad. The Bears have lost like 10 straight. They're bad. There's just some bad teams, man.
All these teams right there, too. The first nine, or the worst nine teams within a game.
I know. I think New like England, five or six have three wins and then four or
New
something
England,
like that.
New England, Tennessee, Cleveland, Giants have
four.
Three.
Yep.
Jacksonville, Carolina, Jets, Vegas, Chicago.
Yeah. And when I say Giants, four wins, yeah. Fourth in the actual draft.
Right.
So was it like this? I'm just trying to go back. The only recollection in my lifetime early as a kid was like, and I wasn't rooting for tanking, I didn't process it that way, was when the Knicks got Patrick Ewing in 85. But, I mean, without any social media, I definitely read the newspapers when I was a kid, but I don't quite remember the tone of articles being, you know, the Knicks in the hunt for the fry. I don't know if that was a thing back then. Is it an echo chamber because of social media? And now the
I think that's
giant,
made it worse.
No doubt. Like the giant on giant crimes, it's easier to identify because of it taking place in a public sphere like X.
Well, can you see both sides of it, though? Like, I understand why fans would want the top pick, especially where the Giants are at.
That's
like,
why I root for losses over the years. Yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I understand why, or not even the top pick, the better pick. Giants happen to have
the better situation.
Correct. The Giants happen to have the top pick prior to their win, so I could understand it even more. But I also understand a Giant fan who puts his energy and effort and passion and money at times into his damn team.
Yep.
And it doesn't want to be embarrassed by having a winless season at home or going to the game with your kids. Maybe it's the one opportunity you get to go to because you can't afford tickets. You get tickets for who knows how it happens.
Yeah.
But you go there, what are you going to go to the game and root for the Giants to lose? Like, that's sacrilege. You just don't do that. Or even if you don't go to the game, you're at home, you're watching a game.
Yep.
What, and you're rooting for your team to, like, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't compute as a fan. It never has to me. So I understand that side of it while also understanding how it can be detrimental long term, which is why I think the NFL needs to do something about a lottery.
I like to see it. Listen, the one thing that I've never done, I've never gone to a game and rooted against the team. Like, at that point, I checked out. You know, I said, why are you going to go? I think that, and it was pretty vocal. Like, I know there were a lot of empty seats, and there were some Colt fans, and not many, but some Colt fans there as well. But I think the Giant fans that were there were very enthusiastic about the performance by the Giants because, let's face it, if you sack up at the end of December to go watch that half-assed product, you're probably such a fan, or it's the first game that you could ever go to. Maybe you get free tickets, like we said, and you cheer. Like when I went to the Jets-Rams game, when Rodgers threw that touchdown, I stood up and cheered with my son.
Right.
Not like a lunatic when I used to go to the games that I was really hoping for wins, but I'm like, all right, let's go.
Well,
I'm not going to sit there and boo for my son who's nine.
Well, that's,
come on.
But that's kind of the point. So
the hell
kid,
is that?
That's why I think we almost as fans got too smart for our own good.
Everybody's a general manager.
Yeah, and looking ahead to the draft and the prospects and can't trade these guys.
No.
There's got to get this pick and this quarterback where there's no guarantee that having the top pick is going to change anything anyway. And you could get good quarterbacks. It was proven this past year. Giants passed on McCarthy, Penix, Bo Nix, just to name a few, that could have changed their franchise. Who knows? So you don't need that top pick. It's just, I found it disappointing. And then think about like Mara, Dable, and the players who want the support of their fans. Like Mara's been embarrassed beyond belief this year. They actually give their fans a game to win and something to cheer about, yet 90% of the fan base wanted them to lose.
And every question's, hey, is it worth the win?
Yeah.
I heard our buddy Jermaine Illuminor out there, and he was like, no, listen, like he was asked that. No, it was respectfully. It wasn't like, dude, why'd you win today? It was like, you know, what do you think about the fans who are unhappy with the win or maybe hoping for something different? And he gave a very, you know, very easy to believe state of the team response. Like, hey, we get paid to play. So I get it. I think the thing that complicated that game from specifically to the Giants winning that game is that it was Drew Locke. Like if it was a kid, even I don't even mean like a first overall pick, like a second round quarterback who hadn't played much, or even DeVito a year ago, where you're like, all right, I mean, hey, five touchdowns, man, he was pretty amazing. Maybe this kid could be something with some better old line, whatever. then you can justify it a little bit more. And not to diss Drew Lock. He was great that game, but Drew Lock's not going to be the starter next year. Come on, what are we doing? So even like this all-time, basically, performance by a Giants quarterback will never be the Giants quarterback of the future, yet he very well may have impacted negatively the next 10 years of the Giants' future.
Do you think that that win saved Dable?
I think he was coming back before that. Not what I would have done. I've said that. I really think that Mara is just, he is hell-bent on not looking like a clown and firing both men again.
I'm getting the feeling that that win did. Because I think Mara, to your point, wanted to find every excuse possible or any excuse possible to keep Shane and Dable. Mm-hmm. Continuity, see this thing through, whatever. Which, by the way, I'm okay with as long as it's both of them and as long as you know that it's going to be beyond just next year. Next year, year four, somehow, then it's not going to be the ultimate grading year either because it's going to be with a new quarterback. Like it's just such a mess.
It becomes very convoluted at that point.
Which is why I would personally, at this point, clean house and get new people in here with a was supposed to be top pick, but now whatever. But I do get the feeling that that win at least gave Mara enough to be like, okay, well, we didn't go winless at home. They did show some signs of an offense with neighbors.
They might win again this week because Philly's playing nobody.
Yeah. It is such a freaking mess.
It really is.
And how they're going to come away from this draft, like, if you don't have the top pick, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You got to come away with the quarterback. So I don't know if you got to trade up to get one, whether you want Ward, whether you want Shador, who, by the way, I watched a little bit of Shador.
All right, didn't play well, two picks. Yeah. How about the Giants logo on the cleats?
Yeah, it's weird. And look, not to make too much of just one game or two, I'm not in love with Shador Sanders.
Neither am I. Cam Ward's always been the guy for me. Yeah, I've always said it's Cam.
And now maybe he goes number one. And look, New England's not going to take a quarterback. You know that if they do it. Anyway,
somebody's going to trade with the Pats. Pats are in a great spot.
I know, but now you're giving up
their quarterback, and they probably get a lot of assets by moving down.
Now you're giving up more. Look, I'm not into tanking, but with the way that the rules are right now, which is there are no rules as far as the lottery goes, the Giants, with that win, hurt themselves a lot more than they helped themselves.
Well, what they did quite literally is now the Giants going to have to pay for what they had for free. I mean, it's like buying your house back. The mortgage is already paid. You know what I mean? Like, you know, something you own, you're going to pay for it again after you paid it off.
And you earned it because you sucked so bad. The least you could do was have the top pick at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a chance if they win, and you would assume they're going to try to win Sunday, right? Get the division win. Mm. Oh, you think they're going to? They won last week. Now they're going to try to lose.
I know. Well, wouldn't that kind of fit the script?
Yeah, right. Do really exactly what they're not supposed to do. Like at this point, you've come this far, just beat the Eagles to get it over with them. Yeah. No, but come on. The Eagles aren't going to play anybody. I would think that Dable and the Giants are going to be coaching. Now, they probably aren't even as good as the Eagles' backups anyway. So they might lose.
Well, they were as good as the Colts starters.
But if the Giants won that game on Sunday, they get themselves to four wins. Dude, you could be talking about the ninth pick, potentially, right?
Yeah,
I don't
think
the tiebreaker is going to go, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, that if everybody loses... I'd have to really look at this. I'm sure somebody's already done this. If the Giants win, I don't think that they would drop below seven.
Carolina has the tiebreaker over them, right, in the Giants' favor because Carolina beat them.
But I think it's strength of schedule.
It has nothing to do with head-to-head. Either way,
This is what we're at. January 2nd. Wondering what's going to happen if they beat a bunch of backups. Do they drop the 7?
Hey, good news is it's almost over. We can start focusing on Wild Card Weekend. 888-808-1019. We started the show talking about the Jets. Jeff is in Hamilton, New Jersey. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
You too.
You too, Jeff. What's happening, buddy?
I'm a Giants fan, but... No, you sure you're not on drugs? You said you wanted Rodgers back.
Yeah, I do. No, never done drugs. I do want Rodgers back. I told you why.
Okay. I'm not a Jet fan, so I'm not going to speak to that. But I think initially I felt like BT. I was like, why would you win this game? I don't think this draft is spectacular. I don't think Shador Sanders. I don't think Ward is going to be that great. Think of where he's playing. They lost some big games. I may be silly here. This is kind of, I think, from what I've read, not considered a strong draft. I actually think if for some reason the quarterback out of Penn State came out, he would be the guy I would target. He looks like he's got a really strong arm. I just don't think Ward or Sanders, either of them, I don't think are going to amount to much. Well, if I were the Giants, mm-hmm. where I'm at now, I know they need a quarterback. I would be looking outside of the top two. I mean, they're not going to get Ward, but I don't like Sanders. I think the kid from Penn State is interesting.
He's interesting. Does have a good arm. I agree with that. I mean, listen, and thanks for the call there, Jeff. The bottom line is this. I mean, the draft, any draft evaluation is the absolute pinnacle of subjectivity. All right, so we could go back and forth and do a tennis match and ping pong all day about who right. we like and who we like. Nobody really knows. I've stopped guessing on these guys. I have no idea. Like, I just come clean at this point.
Right.
I don't know. I have no idea who's good. I know well, who I want the Jets to hire.
Yeah.
I have an opinion on whether or not I want Shane and Dable back, but pertaining to these kids, portals, and they're still, by the way, I don't mean to interrupt you, Sal, yep. but this is very important, the evaluation of the quarterbacks now. They are still very adversely affected by what happened with COVID. You know, whether it's Sanders or Ward or the kid from Penn State or many others, like, they had not had a conventional path of school and football play because COVID was 2020. It's 2025. So even if they were in high school, or it's just there's a lack of development. I don't know. All I do know pertaining to the Giants is that by winning, it just complicates their ability to have access to somebody that they might like. That's all it does. It guarantees nothing if you're picking first. But if you are picking first, at least you can pick the guy that you like.
Or trade down and get
a hole. Or trade down.
Like the number one pick, nobody would dispute this. We may not know. Then you could have an opinion of who you want or who you think is going to be better, just like I can. But ultimately, what the hell does that mean? Reggie Bush may be the greatest college player that I've ever seen in my life, and yet when he got to the NFL, he was good.
Yeah, he was,
but he wasn't as dominant as he was at USC.
No,
Josh Rosen, the year of Josh Allen,
went 10th overall UCLA.
He would have been my guy. Watch the tape, watch some games. Yeah. The way he threw, I'm like, yeah. He looks the most pro ready to me.
Awful.
He was a total bust. So
yep.
Like. You don't know Jamarcus. And by the way, it's not just us. The people who actually do the picking get
yeah.
it wrong
yeah.
all the time as well. The one thing that nobody can dispute, the number one pick is a lot more valuable than the number four or five pick.
Like, meaning if you possess it and the ability yeah. to trade out.
Well,
no
whatever,
doubt about it.
Whether you get to pick whoever it is you want.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It guarantees nothing
yeah.
except that the consensus in the war room, you don't have to leap over somebody to put that name on a piece of paper and get to the commissioner. Or
you're going to get a hole
yeah, yeah.
to move down
That's
three
it.
Spots
yep.
and take your guy.
And now think about this, Sal. What also complicates the Giants here is that, all right, eventually they got to get a quarterback. Say if they love Ward or Sanders, but let's just say Ward, and they're picking fifth, right? And Ward's going to go two. You know, now they're not good anyway, and because they haven't been good. And now whatever draft equity they have, they're going to have to give up to go and get a guy that you don't even know is going to be good. Like, they've got to build out their talent base. I'm not saying that they're completely bereft. I love the young running back. I love Neighbors. You got to get Thomas back. Although, now this is, 3 years in a row, Andrew Thomas gets hurt. You know, they got a few interesting pieces. But for the most part, the Giants are fairly devoid of real talent. You don't accrue more talent by giving up premium draft equity.
And because of the timeline with Shane and Dable and that they've basically punted the quarterback position for 3 years, I think they need one. Regardless of where they're picking
yeah.
or who you like or not, like, they're almost in a spot where they have to find a quarterback. Doesn't have to be from the draft, but then you got to get a franchise quarterback elsewhere, the way the Vikings did years ago with Kirk Cousins, something like that.
Yeah,
like,
good luck with that.
They need a franchise quarterback. If it's not going to be one that you draft,
mm-hmm.
you got to find one, whether it's via trade or free agency. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the Fan. Couple of things, BT, before we get back to the calls here. A couple of notes on our colleagues. Number one, and this is the exact issue that I have with people when they talk negatively about Aaron Rodgers. I just saw the Fan Instagram account post something that Gio said
okay.
about Rodgers. Quote, he came in here and infected the franchise even worse than they were already infected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just, I just don't think he gets it. Now, Gio's entitled to his opinion. Maybe he doesn't like Rodgers, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had the opportunity to interview him a couple of times. That's fine. I think the exact opposite. I think Rodgers tried to do everything in his power
yep.
to lift this otherwise pathetic losing franchise up and is an asset to the franchise, but they were so bad that they brought him down to a certain extent, and also he was limited to what he could actually do because of the injury in year one and then, you know, being the age that he is.
That's where I reside as well. And that came across to me in the documentary. I think he really tried to elevate, but it didn't work out. You know, you can't lead when you're on the sidelines. I know that he, and this was actually pretty poignant. I like this, man. I imagine myself up there remember when he came back to visit the team and it was the first time he was in the facility before the Chiefs game?
It was bizarre to see behind the scenes because we talked about it in real time every day.
Yeah, like,
and
what was he doing?
Yeah,
what
and then
was
we got to
doing?
See it.
And it, you know, dropping F-bombs, and you could just tell, like, just he was broken that he couldn't be out there with his guys. And I just thought it was such a genuinely transparent look into his competitive soul and, you know, how he wanted to be there for his football brothers. And, you know, if you think that that's an act, I don't know what to tell you, man. But, no, and I didn't hear the segment with Gio about that. I'm sure there were some other things he said. Maybe we missed some context,
right.
Whatever.
Yeah, you know, get snipped on social
media.
Yeah,
you know how it is. But I think that he was supposed to be the antidote to rid the Jets of their infection. He didn't further infect them. He just couldn't save them.
Now,
big difference.
More importantly, another colleague.
Yes.
The Boomer special. Did you see that?
Boomers,
Boomer and Gunner show.
Yeah.
I forget what the exact name of it was called. But ESPN did a special on it. They talked about it this morning as well. They previewed it. I happened to get a chance to watch that over the course of the vacation. I'll say this, and we joke around and bust each other's chops all the time. I don't even want to do that anymore to Boomer, and we will in good fun, but like Joe Montana has nothing on Boomer, and we would joke around and be like, oh, Boomer has the same amount of rings as I do. Dude, what Boomer has done, not only for his son Gunner, but for cystic fibrosis in general and saving lives and helping make lives better, I don't think it gets enough attention. I knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I broke down, man, during that. If you watch that show and don't cry, I don't know what to tell you. I don't think you're human. When Gunner announced, you know, at his wedding that his wife was pregnant, like, how could you not tear? Even seeing Boomer cry, like, that was so touching. As a matter of fact, I'm going to watch it again with my wife.
So
she
am I.
Wants to see it.
So am I.
Yeah, so
funny
there you go.
On
the same page.
I
had to wait for the first time I wanted to see it, but it was so good. I'm like, you got to see this. Yeah. She didn't want to watch it, so I'm going to watch it again. But my God, man, Boomer, that is some kind of special person.
His, you know, MVP is secondary to what he's done in life, if you really think of it. It's not even close. That he has done saintly work. And that's not hyperbolic. Like, he has saved people other than his son. It's amazing. We talked about it a little bit at dinner. It came up.
Yeah,
I definitely watched it. I sent Boomer a text after it. I don't need to share.
I didn't. I felt, I don't know if I'm gonna bother him with this.
I don't need to share publicly what I wrote, but it was from the heart, man to man, dad to dad. I told you what I wrote, and I told Hoff what I wrote. He is just... Boomer's amazing, and Gunner's amazing, and I saw Boomer this morning. I hadn't seen him, you know, since before the holidays. Yep. I'm like, what's up, brother? We're talking a little bit, and he said, hey, thanks again, even though he got back to me when I texted him. He said, thanks again for the text. It meant a lot. We were talking about, you know, some small talk, whatever.
Damn.
You got to get on his good side, man.
Well,
no, I'm just teasing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, listen, he's like, it was really important for me it's no longer my story. Like, I've done what I've done. It's Gunner's story. It was so deep and so emotional. And and I asked him, I said, was, like, I knew it was bad at certain points, like I think most people would, because cystic fibrosis is so physically debilitating now, the advancements, thank God. But, like, when he was at Boston College, he was withering away. He was, like, 130 pounds. It was just incredible what they both done. And his wife and the entire foundation, it is beyond description.
How about even the stuff, though, when Boomer, at the peak of his playing days... You know, with his son, a baby, and going through, like, the patting on the back, all those different things.
Yeah,
like, his life changed.
Yeah.
Here you are, star NFL quarterback, MVP, and I don't know the exact timeline. I know 1993 is when he said he found out, right, when he came to the Jets?
Sounds right. Yeah, 93,
okay,
I believe it was.
So whatever, but he's been in the Super Bowl, MVP, all those different things.
Yeah.
And you have a child, and then you find out that, and your life changes in an instant. And the work that it's God's work, man, that he's done since he found out. And the steps and that they've taken, the money that has been donated, and the fact that they found, I don't want to say a cure, but a drug that significantly helps here. I was blown away by it.
I knew
about it, and I knew the foundation. I knew a lot of the work. I don't think it gets enough pub, and I don't think Boomer, and I know he probably doesn't want it.
No, he definitely doesn't.
I don't think he's getting enough credit for what him and the foundation and Frank DeFord before him.
Amen, Frank. I'm happy you brought him up.
Yeah, like, it is remarkable. Like, I don't care what they do on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say Joe Montana has nothing on him. Because those guys, yeah, maybe they won on the field. They do not do what Boomer has done. I mean,
I don't know anybody. Yeah, forget about quarterbacks. I don't think Michael Jordan. Think about what Michael Jordan, you know, he didn't even want to get into the politics back in the day, which I have no issue with. But, and I know he's donated money, but no, you can make the case that I don't even think you have to really work hard to do this. I mean, Boomer's place in life is forever cemented, and what he's done is much more important off the field than going, you know, 80 yards with a buck 13 to go against whomever to win a game in whatever year you want to pick. It's just, you know. And listen, there's a lot as parents, you know, you might confide with close friends and certainly relatives. There's a lot of parents who go through a lot of things that we don't all know about. Of course, now maybe not to the degree of cystic fibrosis, thank God, but. I mean, there are, whether it's a learning disorder, whether whatever it might be, it could be something as simple as a little tiny, teeny speech impediment that you've got to get a little extra help for. Math doesn't click, whatever it is. But to then see a young Boomer, this is where the visual really hit me. We're both dads, and your daughter's a little bit younger than mine, but mine is still kind of young, youngish, 8 and 9. To see Boomer, you know, at his most, you know, physical, virile state, still a young dude in the NFL, patting his son's lungs to clear the liquids and just to...
Going through that process every day.
And, amazing. And you know, it was whatever Boomer did, you know his wife did more, probably, because Boomer wasn't around all the because he was playing and practicing.
It is a must-watch. It's on ESPN. It's called The Second Wind, the Boomer and Gunner special. Jeremy Schapp hosted it. Must watch. Like we said, we're going to be watching it again. So I got to text him. I probably should have, but I figured we'd talk about it on the air. Maybe I'd see him here and say something to him. But it is, he was a remarkable human. So much so that I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should do that damn bike tour. The Gio's like, oh, don't do the bike thing. I know you did
Gio
that.
Gio said, don't do it?
No, well, he said years ago. Yeah,
I invited you a couple of years ago to do it.
I said no.
You said no.
You did it, and then you didn't want to do it again.
Well, but I did it because I got hurt.
Any little way to help, like.
What else is new?
Yeah, like, think about that. We're being pains in the neck about.
But when you think about it, you say, all right, so is that a commitment? Did you just commit on the air to 45 miles? It ain't easy.
I know, it's not easy.
It just sounds like, did he just commit? Sounds like he committed.
Hey, I'll tell you this. I will say this. Anything Boomer, whatever little bit that I could help and do my part, I would do for him because that's how much I look up to him after watching
that. I love Boomer Sison. I know what that sounds
and
like. I love Boomer. That's going to be a drop.
You've been kissing his ass forever.
No, I respect him. Yeah. I'll kiss anybody's ass. I love him. I respect him. Hey, by the way, Sal, when you said we were going to get into some colleague stuff, I thought we were going to have the discussion. We got a little thief on the pit. Who the hell is going into our office and stealing baseball cards?
Yeah, I know. Well,
What's going on here?
I don't think it's Boomer. Well, it's not only baseball cards. The football cards you got back there, those packs are light.
What are they? Helping Santa out? Like, somebody going in there and stashing them away for the holidays?
And it's like blatant.
Yeah.
It's blatant steals, too, because I bought the boxes of cards, and now you could see the bottom of the box. Like, I thought they were a little light, and I'm like, And then I noticed you could see the bottom of it. Somebody is swiping our cards for the Pull Your Card with BT and Sal game.
Is there a chance?
We're going to have left to play with Aaron Boone if this keeps up.
Is it possibly Huff?
No, it's not
You sure?
You're not taking anyone.
Anyway. I'm not taking them.
And even if you did, like...
I'm telling you.
By the way, I don't care if anybody wants them, but maybe you ask first before you just start swiping these things.
What's next, the Dwight Gooden poster? You can rip that down for the wall?
I have to start nailing stuff down here. And it wasn't even on vacation. It's before vacation, but it got a lot lighter after vacation as well. All right, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We've been talking a lot of Jets. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Eric is in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
BT, Sal, how we doing, boys?
Good, what's up?
What's happening, buddy?
Happy New Year to you guys. Welcome back.
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
And BT, I had to call and talk about the Jets here. I loved what you guys were talking about as far as Aaron Rodgers, because I'm completely on the same page. I do not have nearly the negative vibes towards Aaron Rodgers that many do. I think, you know, he comes with a level of authenticity, and there's just a genuineness to him that love him or hate him. He is who he is. So I've always kind of respected and appreciated that. And for the Jets, I think, you know, bringing him back, I don't really see another alternative. I think it makes the most sense for him to kind of, you know, overshadow whoever the next coming is going to be. But the question really remains, like, who is going to be our head coach? And I know Vrabel is the tip of the spear right now. I mean, I know Vrabel is probably, you know, one or 1A right now. I mean, Ron Rivera, that's just checking the box.
No, I better not be Rivera. It's not going to be.
My question for you, BT, if it's not Vrabel, which, you know, I don't know if I believe the story that came out a few days ago, you know, about it being, you know, the Jets are really just kind of a bait for the Patriots or anybody else. Maybe that's true, maybe it isn't. But if it's not Vrabel, I mean, it's got to be Brian Flores or an Aaron Glenn. I mean, I actually would love Aaron Glenn, but I think he's probably going to get poached somewhere else.
Why Aaron Glenn?
I mean, I think he's obviously done some really good things, you know, in Detroit. But obviously, the fact that he's a Jet,
That's great. That's great. He's a Jet. So was Rex Ryan. And thank you for the call, Eric. Appreciate you taking the time. Don't you want somebody with experience?
I think they need it this point.
Oh, my God.
Come on, man.
All due respect to Aaron Glenn, and maybe he's going to be a great head coach somewhere else.
I like Glenn more than you, but I can't roll the dice here. I just can't.
Yeah, it's not that I don't like him. The Jets need a proven head coach.
Unless they had an absolute, and again, that's what I want as well, but if you went proven general manager route and then Aaron Glenn. Again, it's not a home run, but I'd be okay with it. Like, remember, when this came out, when I gave you my list about a month or so ago, Aaron Glenn was third on my list. I don't want Rex. Rex is who I don't want.
Right.
I don't want Rex. Like, number one is Mike Vrabel. Never. I don't think they're going to get him. I don't. I want him.
Why? You think he's going to have too many other options?
He's good. I think he's at the top of everybody's list. If Mayo gets fired from New England, I guarantee Kraft is going to get him. So as much as I want Vrabel, I have never once deviated from that. I don't think Vrabel's going to be the Jets coach.
Year one? Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be the coach.
So he would be your number one. I still
and I'd be okay with Flores and Gruden, and then I think Glenn's on the list for me too. I know he's on the list for me. Like those are the four. Like you're not getting Ben Johnson. You're not going to have the quarterback to entice Ben Johnson. You can't run the risk of having an OC. You know, you need an adult. And at least I know that Aaron Glenn's an adult.
Yeah, I guess Patrick. I just would not. I want an experienced head coach for the Jazz. Patrick is in Melville. What's up, Patrick?
Hey guys, how you doing? Happy New Year to you both.
You too.
Good talking to you. So, listen, I just wanted to, I know about just kind of getting back to the Giants, and I know that, you know, as players, obviously the players can't root the tank, but as a fan, I mean, this happened last year with those meaningless Danny Tommy DeVito wins, I mean, that we literally could have had Jaden Daniels. And look what Jaden Daniels did to the Washington Redskins. That was a franchise that was, like, projected to have, like, four wins. And look at them. They're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, but it's not in the story, Patrick, because there's a lot more that goes into it. They had new owner, they hired a new head coach, they got a new offensive coordinator, they have weapons, they had a foundation that was built, and thank you for the call. And also, last year was a little different circumstance, BT, is what the Giants started winning some games last year before the very end. Like, yeah, the season was over, but it wasn't like this, where they had, you know, two games to go, and they were in possession of the top pick. And then cost themselves that by winning a game.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about literally with the Giants this year. That was not the case a year ago where they were starting to win some games a little bit before that.
Yeah, and even as they started to win some games last year, which ultimately proved meaningless here, there's no carryover in the NFL. If you think that there is, it's just not. It sounds good. It sounds cute, but it doesn't work.
No, but I do think it showed something about Dable being able to right the ship.
That's where I was going. Like, at least there was carry over from, okay, the year before we won a road playoff game, so that was a great start for our rookie coach. This year, we've got every reason to pack up shop and go 2-15, and we didn't, so we squeezed out a couple, which I think emboldened Giant fans further that they've got the right guy.
Right.
That's what I mean.
And then this year went off the rails. That's why if people ask, well, hey, with Dable, what do you believe in? Well, first year playoffs, and last year with all the injuries, the bad quarterback situation, they were able to right the ship and avoid total embarrassment. This year, they got the total embarrassment. So that's why in year three, it's a big negative.
I have a question here, by the way. It's 11:41. Yeah. It's the first show of the new year. When are we going to start talking about the team that matters? When are we getting to the Knicks, man?
Oh, I thought
Knicks have won 9 straight.
I thought you were talking about the Mets. I'm sorry.
The Mets.
The team that matters, you said.
The Mets?
The Juan Soto-led Mets.
Did you? I know you saw this. And to your credit, hold on. I got to put. You did not send me this.
What?
All right. But I would have laughed if you did.
What, the judge dropping the...
Oh, did you see this, dude?
Yeah, man, that was everywhere.
I mean, I know, but when did you see it? I got it like 5 days ago.
I heard the jokes before New Year's.
I get this text from my buddy. Hey, he says, and it starts so seriously too. My buddy in town. He goes, hey, I know it's hard to get out of the house with the little kids on New Year's Eve. And I'm like, oh, what's he trying to do here? I'm looking to meet up and have a beer. So if you're looking for something to do at home tonight, And then he's got a screenshot of Judge dropping the pop-up in Game 5 of the World Series. And it says, if you start watching the World Series Game 5 at 10:26 and 44 seconds tonight, you can watch the ball drop in New York right at midnight. I didn't respond to him. That was 5 days ago. I didn't respond to him. I didn't even write back to him. He knows.
Even I wouldn't do that. I mean, that's just nasty.
That is straight up filthy.
I actually feel bad for Judge.
It's aggressive.
By the way, there is something else that I watched that plays into Judge and the postseason. I want to get to that. I think you've seen it already, but we can discuss that maybe when we come back. BT and Sal back on the panel. Let's hit some of the calls here. BT 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get into the Knicks a little bit later on. We didn't touch the baseball stuff that happened while we were away, so we'll have some fun with that as well. Josh is in Smithtown. What's up, Josh?
Hey, you know, if Rogers was in studio and shook Sal's hand, I don't think Sal would ever wash again. you know, I understand you like the guy, but there's two main things that I really have an issue with. I'm not even a Jets fan to start with that, too. Number one is the lack of being able to point to himself and take accountability. It's always the receiver's fault. It's always the coach's fault. It's always everyone else's
fault. That's not true. He's taken accountability plenty of times before.
Yeah, it's not true.
Just factually correct. So that's wrong. Strike one. What's your next point?
Okay, my next point is going to be how anything non-football related had to be taken out of the Jets organization or locker room or facility. And then he goes on McAfee every week, and he's had camera crews following around for the documentary. I understand you like the documentary, but how can you say get anything non-football related out of there, and you have these young kids looking up to him, and he's got cameras in his face the whole time?
Yeah, I mean, that's a different, and thank you for the call, Josh. We appreciate you to check it in. I probably would wash my hand. But I'd like the opportunity to talk to Rogers. I think he's fascinating. I know Boomer and Gio have done it a couple of times, so I think that's great for the station. Cool for those guys. I'd love to be able to talk to him myself, but let's not get carried away here. He is accountable. He holds himself accountable more so than other players. Now, as far as the other stuff, the non-football stuff, I could do without the McAfee interviews every week. I could do without the camera crews, although I don't think Rogers is going looking for that stuff. I think they come to him, and then he says, okay, well, sure.
Yeah. Well, they did it with, quarterback and wide receiver, Kirk Cousins and others. I think Justin Jefferson, they followed around. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, people want to have some access, and they like when the curtain is pulled back and, you know, they gain some access inside the building and get a sense of what somebody's like away from the field. So now, because you don't like Rogers, it's not a good thing. You don't have to watch it. That's certainly your prerogative. All I'm saying is, if you just tuned in, like, if you go in even not liking Aaron Rodgers, just thinking he's a bad person for whatever reason, not a good guy, I think if you watch that, I think it's hard to come away with the same position. I think it has to change on some level for you.
Which, by the way, might be the reason why Rogers agreed to do it. He knows his public image and public persona, whatever you want to say, is taking a hit.
I don't think he cares about that.
Well, I don't think he cares I think he cares a little bit. I don't think he cares where he lets it affect who he is.
Okay.
But there's also a part of frustration where he feels not misunderstood, but misrepresented.
That's why he does McAfee too, because he does like to be able to punch back in his own way.
So that's my point. Like,
yeah.
From a Jets perspective, sure, do we need Rogers on McAfee every week? No, and it's usually about nonsense, especially the year that he got hurt. To me, that started to take away from the team, and it was just there was no point to have him on every week, but he wants to have his voice. And by the way, this is something that he did back in Green Bay where he would do radio interviews, so this is nothing new, but he wanted to have his voice and perspective heard. And to your point, if you think that Rogers can turn people from watching Enigma, then that's a success for him doing the show and getting his truth and his side of certain things out there. Even talking about his family, where he was bothered about
the stupid
bachelor thing, where his dopey brother
goes on.
Yeah, his brother's using his fame to get rich and famous. He goes on the ridiculous, stupid show. They play it up like the empty chair for Rogers and his girl. Like, get the hell out of here. It's so lame, dude.
I agree with I just think he comes across as a guy with a pretty big heart. I think he cares about people. The story about that woman that he met about 20 years ago playing golf at the golf.
Yes.
And
that got screwed up too?
Of course I did. Yeah. Well, that was somebody else. That was when he got off the airplane and the cancer patient.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got that.
It was positioned as, he ignored her when actually the week before he signed the jersey and he gave her a big hug and he wished her well in her breast cancer battle.
He painted like he was a villain for ignoring it. Right, God. The golf, he performed that. Now, what was it? That was a Packers golf outing preseason?
No. That's what they do over in In Lake Placid. Jeez, why am I forgetting?
Oh, right, he does every year.
It's on NBC, too.
The Pro-Am?
The Pro-Am. Okay, yeah. So it's not a Packers thing, and he started going when he was a backup. He's got a lot of game. You can see him swing. He could play. I think he's probably about a 3 or 4, maybe better. And he's been going. He just, you know, befriended a woman there, and just, you know, she doesn't do anything for him in terms of fame or money, or they don't have a relationship in terms of sexual relations. Just,
right.
They hit it off, and they're friends, and 20 years later, they're still friends.
Even the way he talks about his parents, who he has been disconnected with.
Yep.
Which is hard for you and I to imagine. I'm sure the majority of people are like, dude, come on, how could you not talk to your parents? But the way that he talks about them is that he does hope to reconcile one day. And also he does speak fondly of them and his childhood, but they just different beliefs. The way that he was raised with the religion that they put on him.
Very different.
He became an independent thinker and starts to question all the things that they raised him with.
Correct.
It's not ripping him, but just he's evolved. Like, that happened.
And he spoke about, you know, if you know anything about, you know, Cal Berkeley and which way it leans politically, and most of you do, like, he went there and it was kind of counter what he was then, from what he was introduced to in his household, to your point.
Yeah.
So, you know, he went there to, I guess he went there with an open mind, and he just enjoyed the different, you know, the different possibilities that are out there and the different beliefs and different structures of the world. And he's a smart dude. Like, he jumped into it feet first, face first.
Would you ever wash your hands again if you got to meet Roger?
Yeah, man. Oh. Absolutely.
What about Donnie Baseball?
I'll give him a day. I'll take those germs to the bank, baby. Donnie's the man. Donnie, come on.
Tyrone is in Newark. What's up, Tyrone?
Hey, what's going on? How everybody doing for this new year?
Good. What's up, Tyrone? Happy New Year.
Good start so far. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, look, listen one second, man. I swear I hate to be the Grinch. I know Christmas is over, but please do not keep putting over the radio through all these people of all these things you remember about the goodness of Aaron Rodgers. Wait one second. Please let me finish. The guy called before me, he is exactly right. He does not take responsibility. Don't give me that. Don't do that to yourselves, brothers. Look, listen, we listening. We grown-ups, man. Mm-hmm. We choice. We are listening to all this stuff. But what you guys are saying is not true, whether you like them as a person and another thing.
I got a question for you, Tyra. Hold on one second, buddy. I want to ask you something. So, I got it. Okay. But don't I got a question for you. Hold on, bud. I just want to ask you something.
Come on, man.
Don't you think that players who played with Aaron Rodgers and have said he's a great teammate know a little bit more about, now others have said he's not, but many have backed him up as a great teammate. Don't you think they know more than you and I do about Rodgers?
I know a lot of people who have said this guy is not a good guy.
And I know a lot who said he's a great guy.
He's shown to be not a good guy.
Based on what?
According to who?
Based on what?
Calling out other players, he calling out coaches.
So what?
He done cost the job, but he never say, "Hey, if it wasn't for my interception right there, we might have would have won."
It's not true, Tyrone.
He's been look, accountable. Tyrone, hold on a second. What are you saying that we're saying is not true? We're giving our opinion on him. You could have your opinion. We're basing our opinion off.
Even your opinion is something that's taking place that we hear. It's not no opinion.
What's not true?
He does not take responsibility. That's simple as that.
He does, Tyrone. Get lost. Get lost. You don't think Rodgers takes accountability? Absolutely does. We've got quotes to prove it. I mean, I'm not sure if it's a tape op or actually put it in the system, but Rodgers has plenty of times taken accountability, especially over the last 2 weeks.
That's funny.
There's actual audio that Rodgers has taken accountability. Back to the Minnesota game. He said, certainly I could be better. I'm also not alone, which is also true. Like, everybody blames Rodgers for everything because he's the quarterback. It's not all his fault, but he does take accountability.
Do you think that somebody like David Bakhtiari or Randall Cobb, who they were in the huddle with him, or Davante Adams, been in the huddle with him for basically a decade, and they don't know the man's character? He's not perfect, obviously. Yeah, he's self-absorbed. Yeah, he's narcissistic. Yeah, he's a little different. Sure, there's elements of that with a lot of people in the world here, but I think why I've been more proactive in defending Rodgers after I saw the documentary is that I think he's positioned as a bad guy, which is different than having a conversation if he's still good for the Jets. I'll have that conversation all day. I don't think he's a bad guy. Matter of fact, I'll take it the other way. I think he's a good guy.
I agree with you 100%.
I think if there were more people on the planet walking around like Aaron Rodgers, there'd be less violence.
Be a better place. No question.
I actually believe that.
By the way, how about Mike McCarthy?
Yeah.
In the documentary. Yep. What, that doesn't mean anything? About the guy that, he got him fired and all this stuff?
No,
McCarthy
was speaking
very highly of him, even acknowledging, Rodgers could be, I forget the exact words that he used, whatever.
It wasn't bad, but he always said, opinionated, but it was always well-read and he always could back it up. What else do you want? Hey, I might not agree with what you say, but if you say what you say and then you could substantiate it with things that are either factual or things that you believe strong enough to maybe be eventually proved as factual, on the most basic level of intellect, don't I have to respect that?
I respect him for pushing things forward to where I myself, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I don't either care to go to that next level or I don't give it much thought. He hears something and says, yeah, but why?
Yes.
And then let me go into this and give it thought and deep conversation. Like, I don't have, as you said before, the bandwidth for certain things. I just don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with it. Rodgers will inquire on everything.
I know.
And that to me is, I respect the hell out of that. Yeah. And people are hating
almost
on
jealous
it.
In some way with that when it comes to that stuff.
Right. God bless him. Whether he's got the aptitude for it, the money, the time, all those different things that go into it, the care to do it. And I could see how that could be tiring in a quarterback room on the coaches where you always have somebody that, yeah, but why?
Mm-hmm.
But it's smart. And when you actually play it through and think about certain things, it makes a lot of sense to why he would inquire and try to take it a step further. Mark is in Rumson. What's up, Mark?
Hey, buddy. How are you? Hey, guys. Happy New Year. BT, I listen to your Unkillable podcast. I think it's fantastic.
I appreciate that, bud. You guys got to check it out. Spotify, Apple. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Nice plug, right?
Yeah. you bet your ass. It's 2025, yo. We got to plug everything.
Yeah.
I don't think you got your answer about this. Remember, you took your kid to see the game.
Yeah.
You're looking around and you see those gray seats, right? And you're mm-hmm. like, it's like a gloomy gray, you know.
Yeah, I've always wondered why the gray.
I'll
and a couple of different shades.
I wanted to like call into your podcast, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
There's a message to the design. If you look closely, the gray chairs are different shades of gray.
I understand that.
And that's the illusion that if people are not in the seats, it looks like people are in the seats.
No, I think it makes it look more obvious that they're not there. I mean, that's something else, Woody. Although you got to blame the Giants, too, with that because it's a co-tenants. That's something else Woody got wrong. What is he colorblind, too?
Yeah, he didn't get his dream of having that stadium on the west side, which would have been nice.
Hey, I think they've
not got for the city, for the Jets having in their own stadium.
Where'd you stand on that back in the day? That was so long ago.
You know what?
Remember that?
Honestly, at that point, it didn't impact me, so I didn't care. After I started living in the city, shortly thereafter, it would have been a disaster.
Yeah, I wanted it, though.
Yeah.
I did.
I mean, it would have been awesome from the sports fan perspective.
Yeah. Economically, no, Final from, Fours, yeah, but, I mean, but conventions.
As somebody who commutes to the city on a regular basis now,
adult. Yeah. Well, true. Well, yeah.
Think about how
back then I lived in the city.
I was probably
operating from a city. Like, hey, I'll just take the one train up there and I'll get home hammered.
That would be a disaster.
I'm taking any trains now, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm afraid to take the subway later on today. Welcome back. Happy New Year.